afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Christy Stratton.
And joining us, as always, in the producer's chair is Kyle Dotson. How are you doing, Kyle?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
We're recording, we're actually recording on Easter Sunday morning, because Christy is married to a man of Jewish persuasion.
Yes.
Their son is not getting any treats.
No, just hugs and love.
Just hugs and love. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You don't need, like my daughter, how many pieces of candy can I eat right now?
And how many do you say?
I said she could have two.
Okay.
But then she had a whole, like, she had a whole Twix bar, not a whole Twix bar, a whole Kit Kat that's wrapped in Easter packaging. She's like, does this count as one? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So she ate a whole... So that's actually, to me, that's four.
Yes, right.
So she ate that, and then she had like this little mini peanut butter egg, and then she goes,
those are the best.
That mini peanut butter egg was so small. Can I eat some of these jelly beans too? And okay. My wife was asleep, so I said, eat it all. Eat all of it.
So you've got a negotiator. My 4.5-year-old is a definite negotiator. Everything is up for negotiation. Everything.
Well, anything to do with anything that has an ounce of sugar in it.
Okay.
Rita will negotiate to the ends of the world. So, but we were talking with that. We both did a Seder this week.
Yes.
Who was involved in your Seder?
Ours were Monday and Tuesday, and it's Gary's cousins.
Okay.
And it's lovely.
Yeah, it is nice.
It's a lovely thing.
It is nice.
You know, trying to keep a 4.5-year-old, settled and trying to force him to eat like celery and stuff is the whole thing, but one place had a trampoline, so we were good at one point. We just went out there, and he's like, what is this?
This is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Did you hide the matzah? Did he have to go find the matzah? Do you do that game?
Yes, and he found it. And then second one, he found
it. And what's his prize?
Two $2 bills.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Oh. My mother-in-law is a born-again Jew. Which means that she's taken the Jewish religion under her wing in her later years.
Okay.
Like she'll say to us, I would really love Sarah and Rita to be bat mitzvah. And I will say, well, after you are and after Pilar is, then we'll talk about them being bat mitzvah. Because we don't do any of the Catholic ceremonies either.
Okay.
They were both baptized Catholic, but they also both had a Jewish naming ceremony.
Oh.
And that's all we're doing.
Okay.
But my mother-in-law is a crazy control freak.
What if she listens to this podcast?
She doesn't.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the perfect example of my mother-in-law. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who is the famous artist who cut off his ear?
Van Gogh.
Yes. Now, if you ask my mother-in-law that, she'll say, you're talking about Van Gogh. And I'll go, you mean Van Gogh? Well... The real way you pronounce it. I'm like, no. I've never heard anyone ever in my life say Van Gogh.
Right.
Ever. Okay. Ever. She's like, well, that's the way you say it. Mm-mm, no, it's not.
Okay.
So it was quite a week in Florida. Like literally from the first, as soon as we got in the house, Pilar's like, I'm so sorry that I made us come here again.
That's
control.
Very funny.
It's so controlling. She changes words in the Haggadah.
Like okay.
When it'll say God, she'll go, I like to say good here instead of God. And Pilar's like just...
Well, everyone pronounces it good.
That's right. Van good. And Pilar will be like, why are you doing that? I just like how that sounds. Okay. Weirdo.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
So that was our week. So happy Easter.
Yes.
Happy Seder.
As well, yes. Happy Earth people.
Everything's good in Christy Stratton's life.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'm busy, but aren't we all? Aren't we all busy? Isn't that living in the modern world? I'm very excited, though. I saw in pictures that they're going to be airing that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on HBO on, I think, May 31st.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Something like that.
Do you know that Bruce talked for 90 minutes introducing the E Street Band?
No.
every single member he did like a thing for. It wasn't just
that's
like
that's lovely, but 90 minutes.
If you're there, you're like, wrap it up, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the head in this part.
Let's go. Well, who's he talking about? Keyboard player? I'm going to the bathroom. But yeah, that's a lot of
yeah.
And now chapter two, Danny Federici. It's like, oh, come on, Bruce. What? We have a good topic today. Before we do it, though, I want to get some a little bit of business out of the way. The artwork for today's episode is done by Jason Levy. I want to also say that Rock Solid will be live at the Limestone Comedy Festival at 10 p.m. on Saturday, May 31st at the Comedy Attic. And my guest co-hosts will be comedians Brad Wilhelm and Matt Holt. And the topic of the night will be the music of Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
I also want to say go over to www.rocksolidpodcast.com. That is the site created by Jason Wilcox, but is being maintained by Andrew Rich. Every week, Andrew listens to the entire episode and then just does fantastic notes and jokes about every second of the episode. And
yes.
He's doing an amazing job. He's enjoying doing it, and I'm enjoying that he is doing it. So that's all the business for today.
Okay.
Actually, I have a phone call.
You have a phone call?
Yeah.
What if you just stepped out and made a phone call?
This is Ned from Denver.
Ned from Denver, okay.
And this concerns the Rock Solid OPD, letter R.
Okay, oh. That was us.
Hey, Rock Solid, this is Ned Burke from Denver, Colorado. And I was just listening to the Rock Solid OPD R. And Mr. Pat Francis, well, you were talking about how much you like to rock on tours, but not the White Stripes so much. I think that you should really try to get down on some Brendan Benson. He's the other guy who wrote songs for the Rock on Tours that kind of make them be better than White Stripes songs. All right. Just a heads up. I think you really like them. Great pop music. Kyle, nice work. Whoever rotating guest is, you're my favorite.
So now, that call was from underwater with yes. A tin can and a string.
I think Ned is Aquaman. I think.
You think, yeah, that wasn't a good sounding phone, was it?
No.
That's not on our end either, because we're like a voicemail box that people call into.
Yeah.
Give the number so people can call and talk about that.
330-81-ROCKS. 330-81-ROCKS.
Call in. Let us know that Christy's your favorite and that Murray's your
Please.
Least favorite. And Murray's the put-upon guy. I don't know why. He always asks me, why am I the put-upon guy? I go, Murray.
Someone's got to be it.
His name's Murray.
Yeah.
Murr. Well, I'm excited. I'm always excited when Christy's here because I like Christy's energy.
Thank you.
And because she is the one who skews most like the music I like.
Yes.
And that's the reason that she can't be here every week, because then people would get bored.
Well.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Yeah.
No. So, Christy, what's Christy wearing today? She's got a Malibu t-shirt on.
Yes.
She's got some gold necklaces.
It's a vintage Chanel necklace.
Very nice.
From the 80s. Thank you very much.
Who got that for you? Was that handed down?
Oh, no.
Was it a consignment store? Thrift shop?
No, it's one of the stores that does that sort of thing.
Okay, cool.
And they were having a sale.
And you are rocking the horn rim glasses today.
Mm.
Not the clear frames.
Not the clear frames. No. I decided to switch it up.
And you have, how many pairs of glasses do you have? You and Elton John have a lot of glasses.
I have a lot.
Do you really?
I do.
Are they all the same style?
No.
Okay.
They're different styles.
How many pairs do you have? Tell me how many pairs do you really have.
I don't know.
10?
Maybe.
That's a lot of glasses.
Yeah.
How do you decide? If you're going for a meeting, you're going to pitch meeting, what glasses do
you
wear?
Well, I try different ones on, and I take a picture of myself. And then I'm like, which one looks better with this outfit? Please, let's talk. Nobody wants to hear about my fashion stuff. We can talk about music.
That is exactly the stuff I want to hear about, that you take selfies of yourself and then decide what you're going
to. I have an app that logs all my outfits, and I get to rate them, how much I like them, and what weather it was in.
Could you make that a website so that everyone could rate your outfits?
Oh, but see, I don't want people to say terrible things about me on the internet.
So how many glasses did you put on today before coming here?
Oh, just this one. Oh. I knew. I was going to do this kind of outfit with my Vans and my mohair jacket.
We like all the glasses, so it didn't matter.
All right. Well, okay, let's talk about music.
All right, let's do it. You are uncomfortable today talking about anything personal.
No, you know what it is that I worry that listeners are like, get to it. And I worry about them.
Mike Siegel and I talked a couple weeks ago for 20 minutes before we even introduced the topic. Because he had gotten back from scaling Mount Kilimanjaro, so I wanted to hear about that. I've never had any complaints where people say, get to the music.
Okay.
So, we're cool.
All right.
You want to tell us what the topic is today?
Yes, it's deep cuts.
Deep album cuts. Another
album cuts.
And what is your criteria
for
this?
Because I have it.
I have one too. I hope we're on the same page.
Okay. My criteria was that, first of all, it couldn't be an album that we all have. Like Zeppelin, Police Synchronicity. There were certain ones that, like, we all have these. This is just my criteria. I picked albums that meant something to me that was hard for me to pick one of the songs from.
Okay, cool.
That's good.
Now, and as I'm looking through the albums I picked, these are artists that you know, but the albums that I picked aren't necessarily ones that that you would have. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, and your criteria might be different from my criteria.
My big criteria is it couldn't have been released as a single.
Correct. Yes.
I also picked ones that didn't even really get any FM radio play either.
As did I.
So we're really playing songs that from whatever artists we choose that are probably ones you've never heard unless you're a huge fan of that artist.
Right. Or yes. Or you have this record.
This is great. How many do you have today? How many does Christy have?
I brought 13, I think.
Oh, and I brought 14.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I will start then, and that way it'll be
perfect.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
Okay. So I went, my first artist is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And this is from an album called Pure and Simple. Mm. That would not be one that a lot of people would have. And this song is called Wondering. I read the headlines and it makes me so mad. I change the channel cause the news looks bad. A great society is breaking down in front of me. And I need a suit to want to wear. It's plain to see that they just don't care. Did you ever hear that song before?
No. And I like it. I love songs. Any song that stops and then starts back up again. I love that.
Yeah, that was when I picked up this, when I was in a Joan Jett phrase, I'm like, oh, I don't have Pure and Simple. And I picked it up and it's pretty great. But then when that song comes in, I think it's deep in the in the playlist too. I was like, whoa, that's stellar.
And when is that? What is that?
That's 1994.
Oh, okay.
Pure and Simple. And it's called Wondering.
All right. By the way, I only have 12. I forgot. Okay, this first one. In 1995, I discovered the Elastica album. And
that's the band, Elastica.
Elastica, okay. Yes. And the hits from there were Connection and Stutter was a single. And all of them are just jams. Like when you're a girl in your 20s and you're going through all those things, the whole thing is just from beginning to end fantastic. And this song is Smile. And by the way, that's half the song. The song's like a minute and 40. That's such a great record.
That is a good jam. Is it a short album? Is it one of those that just has punchy two or less than 3 minute songs?
Yeah. I mean, there is a few that are longer, but they're just, it's so good. It's so good. Love.
Also, I just want to say about my week in Florida. I had so many internal conversations with myself.
Oh.
Because as we were driving around Florida and her mom would point out every single thing we saw and give you a background history on it.
Okay.
I would say to myself inside my head every time her mom would talk, I would say, I don't care. Please stop talking. We just kept looking at each other. We were in the back seat and we were like, why does she have to tell us everything? this tree here is a, please, no.
Yeah.
So much information that you can't process it. Like if you point out two things and go, oh, this is interesting. This sculpture over here is blah, blah, blah. Great. That I've processed that. I'm going to remember that. But if you throw 1,000 things out to me.
Christy's some nutty. Of those are getting, you know what I do in my head? Sometimes I write emails. I will compose emails in my head. Some I actually write and some it's just a release of things.
Therapeutic.
Yeah. Like I'm getting business done.
Yeah. By doing just that to myself, it prevented me from jumping out of the car too. So. Christy's here, so I got to play a car song. This is, I mean, the Cars don't have a lot of studio albums, but I don't think, I think if people had Cars albums that have the first two, or they might have Heartbeat City, they might not have Shake It Up.
You think? I thought that was pretty big. No? All right.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Panorama would be the one that people, that really people don't have.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And Door to Door.
Yes.
But, but
Shake It Up.
This is off Shake It Up, and this is a song called, Think It Over.
A little bit of time, see you got the jump out. I haven't got a clue what it's all about. Oh, I never had a dream that looks so much like you. I do anything that you want me to.
I don't think those are true hand claps, though. Those sound like, like some drum.
Sure.
I hate when people, when I talk about the Cars, and it's like, Benjamin Orr was singing that.
Yes.
I hate those people that go, well, I can't tell who's singing. I'm like, really? You can't tell the difference between their two voices?
It's so stark.
I know. And people, I just thought it was always the same guy.
I know, really? Right?
Well, come over here and meet my fist.
I wish I could just punch those people in the face.
But, you know, I was always lukewarm on Shake It Up. And then in the past years, I've really, really gotten into it a lot.
I love, like, some of the deeper cuts, like A Dream Away is wonderful. And Cruiser, come on. Anyway.
We just named three deep cuts from Shake It Up.
Oh, I do like Shake It Up. My next one is by a guy named Gary Myrick.
I know about Gary. He used to date someone I know.
No, now I did not date him. We kissed on the lips once. It was
we had a couple dates
in the 90s. That doesn't really count.
Well, if you have a couple dates, I would say, in my book, I would say, oh, I dated that person.
Really? All right.
How many dates? Two? Because two is a couple. Three is a few. Four is engaged.
Okay. Well, I think it was two or three.
Two or three.
Yeah.
You know what happens on the third date?
What? I'm like, because for us, it was just an awkward lean in the car kiss.
Did you split the check one night with him? Did you tell me that?
No, I don't remember. Did he remember pay? I think he did.
He did pay? Okay.
But I was a big fan of his. He's from Dallas. And
then you got to date him.
I know. It's kind of a thing. But so he had some stuff in the 80s that at least we knew of. And then he played on John Waite's No Breaks.
No Breaks, sure.
And he, in the 90s, no, I'm sorry, 2001, he released a record called Waltz of the Scarecrow King. And it was all acoustic. Really good stuff. Like, and nobody, like, it's one of the, you know what I mean? Anyway.
It's sad because you feel so passionate about it. I have so many albums where I'm like, why don't people know this music?
Yeah.
I know. So,
and this song is Honk If You Love Jesus.
Okay.
I came into town at the break of dawn. Vampire housewives blowing their horns. If you love Jesus, honk if you love Jesus. My graveyard love is never done. I married that girl at the setting sun. If you love Jesus, honk if you love Jesus. Tumbleweed spin on the dance floor, but ain't nobody here. Mambo Combo plays a tune and I have no fear. Take my life, take my RV. The propane's almost gone. And honk if you love Jesus. song.
Come on, that's great,
that,
right?
That could be a gigantic hit for someone like Lyra Lovett. I mean...
So great. So great.
Must be so hard. I mean, even, you know, there's people write books and people, they don't get read, and people write spec scripts that don't get made.
Hello.
I mean, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, to make a whole entire, write songs, record it, put it out there, and... I guess you just have to be happy for the people like you that are appreciating it.
Oh,
so is that on iTunes?
No, it is not. You have to go to his website, I think.
All right. Well, if you like that, see, that's a mistake. Put it on iTunes, Gary.
I know. I think one song from it is on iTunes because I was looking it up just to see. I figured that would be a question, and it ain't there.
Yeah, that's always weird. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone, and they were like, well, I don't even know how to get it up on iTunes. I'm like... Seems like something you should be able to find out pretty easily.
Right.
I put this podcast up on iTunes. Why shouldn't your creative work be up there when my nonsense is?
Very funny.
Okay. This next artist is Billy Joel.
Okay.
If you're going to own a Billy Joel, name three Billy Joel albums that you would definitely own.
Well, 52nd Street.
Well, God damn it, this is from 52nd Street. So
yay!
I'm breaking your criteria. But this is a deep
album.
Well,
okay. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Well, then let's just play it and I'll say what it is after.
Little Gio is a friend of mine. We'll get some money and we'll buy a cheap wine. Sit on the corner and have a holiday. Hide the bottle when the cop goes by. Talk about women and lie. Oh, my other world is just a half a mile away.
Love that song.
Love it. I love Rosalinda's Eyes.
Stiletto.
Until the Night. Yes, Stiletto. Yeah.
There should have been more hits off that album. It's really just My Life and Big Shot.
Yes.
And is Honesty
is on that.
But they could have gone. They could have gone for four or five hits off of that album, and it could have been. It could have been bigger. It was big.
Yeah.
But there was more hits in there.
Yeah.
I just watched. They're getting ready to release, and I got it early to review it. There, his concert in Russia.
Oh.
They just expanded it to the full length of the show, and it is so much better than what they released originally as the single disc.
Huh.
They also includes a DVD of the full concert, and there's also a documentary about the whole trip over there. So I'm watching the documentary. Christie Brinkley's in the documentary because they were,
sure.
You know, they were tight at that point. And as soon as she started to talk, in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, you couldn't be married to her for too long.
Hey.
And so, now listen. Okay. So that was in my head, but I didn't say anything. And Pilar was doing work on the bed, on her computer. And so Christie Brinkley comes on a couple more times, you know, throughout, and she's talking. And Pilar just goes, hey, maybe that breakup wasn't because of Billy Joel, huh? I go, right? I was just thinking that. She goes, oh, my God, this woman's a handful. Like, it is just to hear her,
funny.
Just to hear her talk. I was like, oh, boy, she's,
Nope.
And I don't feel that way about a lot of women.
Okay.
You know. Certainly not about you, Chrissy.
No, thank you.
But it's great. So when it comes out, if you're a big fan of Billy Joel, I would highly recommend it. The whole thing's great. They even have the thing. He goes crazy during one show because they keep lighting the audience. As soon as they light the audience, they stop dancing and getting into the show because they're afraid that the military are going to drag them out. But since they're filming everything, the director, Wayne Isham, keeps lighting the audience, and Billy Joel is just at a stand-up keyboard, and he's like, stop lighting the fucking audience, and he takes the whole keyboard and just pushes the whole thing over.
No!
He's singing, and he picks up his microphone stand, and he just beats it on his grand piano. It's like, he looks like a crazy man.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you might not be setting a great example for...
Whoa,
us so over in Russia.
Do they then turn it off?
Yeah, then they stop lighting it.
Wow. Huh.
It's great.
All right. My next one. Okay, so in 2003, well, let me just back up a bit.
Back it up.
Kurt Cobain, he spoiled the party for a lot of us. and into,
by bringing this grunge music into town,
and really killing that kind of rock fun music that was silly,
right?
And in 2003, a band called The Darkness mm-hmm. came into my consciousness.
Okay,
and they had their first record, Permission to Land. I discovered them, and I was reading about them, and like they were thought of as like kind of a joke.
Yeah,
like this was kind of, they were having fun for us.
Right.
But the music is great on Permission to Land, and this particular song, and I mean that in like, I like a perfect balance of wink, I've got a sense of humor,
yeah,
but also we're gonna rock your socks off.
Yeah,
love that. And this is Love on the Rocks with No Ice. Comes. Justin Hawkins is the singer of that band, and that voice is un-freaking believable.
I can't get behind the voice.
You can't?
It sounds so cartoony when he goes into that high register.
Oh, wow.
But I agree that the music is amazing.
Yeah. The hit from that was I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And
yes,
that was a pretty big hit. And that was like my least favorite on the album.
That's always fun, though, when the hit is the one you like least. Because then
yeah,
you're like, oh. And if you like that, then there's plenty more on that album.
Oh,
Roy Thomas Baker produced their second album.
Yes.
Pretty great.
Oh. There's one song that's called Get Your Hands Off of My Woman, Motherfucker. Like, it's really, it's funny, and it rocks. It rocks.
I do think that it rocks. I do like the music. I know a lot of people that like them, but I don't know why I don't like that crazy voice.
Okay.
I'm going to see Queen plus Adam Lambert, because I've never seen Queen.
Oh.
And I'm excited to see Brian May and Roger Taylor, but I just wish that Adam Lambert sings in a high register all the time, and Freddie didn't sing it up. You know, he would fluctuate.
Yes.
So I hope that he's getting that in gear a little bit.
I have to tell you,
to the Forum,
I went to the American Idol finale.
Oh,
that
so
was him and
okay,
the other
cool
boy.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because when we got there, all the merch for Adam Lambert was sold out.
Wow.
The other guy, what was his name? Chris something? Let's just say it was Chris something.
Chris Dud.
I don't know. But okay, so there's that.
Okay.
And when it was interesting.
Kyle was looking it up.
Chris Colfer?
No, honey. He's on Glee.
Kyle.
That's what came up when I typed it in.
Okay, so Adam, for his like number that he did with the band, it was Kiss, and he walks out on stage before the music even starts, and it's a very showy, very non-middle America
right
look.
Yeah,
and it was electric. But I kind of thought, oh, you know, I can see Housewives not being completely sold on this cat,
right?
But oh my gosh. They did Rock and Roll All Night, I think. And I think they did We Are the Champions. Oof. Well, he sang a couple different songs. And it was something. Like,
that's
you
cool
were watching something. And I'm like, this kid is going to be fine. He is going to have a career. I mean, like, I'm telling you, it's going to be a good show.
And he lost.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, Kyle, did you find out who the Chris was yet?
Hold on.
I cannot believe this.
You just take, is it Chris Allen? No.
Maybe?
I don't. It doesn't matter.
Been.
It's a Ruben Studdard situation.
it may be. I mean, okay, the guy was fine. He was, Adam is something else, that kid.
Okay, I'm excited.
Good.
This is my next song is 2000. You just played a song, right? Sometimes when I talk,
yeah,
I forget.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is off an album called Skin by Melissa Etheridge. This is after she had her big breakup with Julie Cypher.
Oh.
And she just wrote a really stripped down 10 songs all about breaking up and love renewed and all that kind of stuff. But I just love Melissa Etheridge's voice. I think it's so strong.
Yes.
And this song is called Down to One.
Was it too hard to try? Was it too hard to lie? Did you just grow tired of hello and goodbye? Was it the naked truth that made you run? Where do I go now that I'm down?
What an instrument.
Yeah.
That voice is crazy.
It's so passionate.
And it's so powerful. It's just like boom.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, I don't know that one, Skin.
That's a deep album cut.
Mm.
From a deep album.
Yeah. Yeah. There were no hits from the, or no singles?
The single was, don't look it up because I can tell you right now. Don't get, plus you're going to just tell me.
Well, Chris Allen was the person.
Okay.
Okay.
See, no one even knew. doesn't matter.
The single off of Skin was called I Want to Be in Love.
I don't think I remember.
Minor
that.
Hit. I think Jennifer Aniston is in the video.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
My next song comes from one of my favorite albums of all time. I just want to say that.
Okay.
It is by Gary Numan.
Okay. Yeah.
Just let that wash over you. The album is called I Assassin.
I think I know the cover. He's got like a
hat
on. It's like purplish and is there some stripes or something? It's kind of like, or is he under a light post?
Yes, yes.
Under the lamp post.
Yes,
that's what it is. That's what
Which
it is.
I thought was like his second album, but it turns out it was his fourth.
Yeah.
In 1982. And this guy, I mean, Cars was a huge hit the couple years before, whatever. Which, by the way, he was like 19 or 20 when he wrote that song that's still around today. Just so you guys know, Gary Numan is only 56 years old.
That's crazy. You would think that he's, he must be as old as Mick Jagger, right? No.
He's just some kind of prodigy. But anywho, the whole record I love. I love his whole vibe. I remember seeing him in Erga Music War. Does that mean anything to you?
It does to April Richardson.
Oh,
she says she watches it on a weekly basis.
I just remember watching it as a kid, and it was like, oh, what is this? It's a little scary. But anywho, this particular song is, it was so hard to pick a song. But it's called The 1930s Rust.
All right, here we go.
Listen good, don't cry for me and don't cry anymore. Now just shut your mouth and this point of view tells to me. Listen babe, say you got no one tonight. Listen babe, say you got no one.
You posted on the Rock Solid page that this was your favorite album.
Because
I think
one
I asked
my
people to name like one album or something.
And I did that thing with the 10 albums that meant something.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
I can't even. The song that was got airplay is called We Take Mystery to Bed. I don't know if that rings any bells.
It doesn't ring any bells.
If you heard it, you might know it. He doesn't actually say the line. It's one of those. I just, that whole record is so, it sounds just like that with that kind of like, I don't even know what, but I...
When was the last time you listened to this album start to finish?
Oh, I just don't. I don't do that.
You don't?
I don't. It'll come up in the mix in the car.
And you go crazy.
I love it.
I had another question. I left my mind. That's okay.
A Gary Numan question?
Yeah, but I forget what it was. Do you still like him? Do you buy his newer music when
he
comes out? It's just, this is a timepiece for you.
Yes.
A place of time holder. A place in time.
Yes.
What am I trying to say?
Yeah. Placeholder?
Placeholder of a time gone by. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
And it was one of those things, like, as a kid, I didn't have a lot of money, so I would just... A lot of records I didn't get to buy when I was younger because I couldn't afford them, but I do remember that this one was a cutout, so it was... I have so many cutouts. Are you familiar with the cutouts?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Did you have a job in high school? Did you work when you were a kid?
I did.
What'd you do?
Well, I babysat, or I worked at Foot Locker. I was a Baskin Robbins when I was in, like...
I think you mean Lady young. Lady Foot Locker.
No, I was the cashier. Okay. I was the cashier at the Foot Locker.
So what did you do with your money? Didn't you spend your money on, or did you save it?
Oh, I spent it.
You spent it, but just not on Gary Newman's albums.
Well, I mean, I remember my first job at Baskin Robbins. I made $2.90 an hour.
Wow. That's crazy, isn't it?
I know. I know, right? I mean, I was like 13. I shouldn't have really even had a job, but anyway. But yeah.
I spent like all my money was always spent on music. Mm. I've told this story before. The door that everyone uses to come in and out of my parents' house, they use what they call the back door. And and anytime I would come in and I would have an album, my parents would go like crazy. They're like, why are you buying so many albums? When are you going to play these albums? Why do you, you already have so many albums upstairs right now. So what I would have to do is I would set my purchases at the front door, come in the back door. Hey, everybody, go to the front door, grab my purchases and head upstairs to my room.
Wow.
I know.
Because once they're up there, they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what's up there.
I would do that with my parents.
They had a Vietnamese family living up there. They didn't know. This is a deep album cut from a band called Journey.
Oh,
but not
I'm not familiar.
But not the Journey fronted by Steve Perry.
Oh,
and not the Journey fronted by Arnel Pineda. This was the singer that was between Steve and Arnel.
Wow,
this is
you
this,
own that?
Oh my God, do I own it?
Okay,
this guy was named Steve Augeri.
Steve Arnel.
And they had two albums with him. They had Arrival and an album called Generations. This is from the first one with him. This is called Signs of Life.
It's been 40 days since I heard from you. This waiting game you put me through. I feel the silence killing me day to day.
Signs of Life. I love that album. I love when you don't like something. You're just
Well, you can't go into someone's soul and find out what, like, I can't, that's not special to me
right,
is to you.
Because it's a deep album.
Yeah, no, but that sounds like a pop song.
Yeah.
Like, it could have, you know.
Sure.
All right. Okay. My next one.
All right.
Is from one of my favorite records from the 90s, because you know I love my ladies.
Right.
I love my Alanis, that whole vibe.
Oh, I do love Alanis Morissette.
In 1997, there was a woman named Meredith Brooks who hit the scene, and I bought the record. It's called Blurring the Edges, and the big song was Bitch. From
right.
And yes, you can laugh at it now, but I gotta tell you, I think it's a great song. It's a great pop song and had a great whatever. And
she came after Alanis, right?
Yes, right?
Because
yes.
Bitch was kind of an Alanis sounding song.
Yes. Yes, but the rest of the record is pretty good. It was produced by David Ricketts of David and David.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yep. Welcome to the Boomtown. But this particular song I love. Because this came out when I was in my 20s. And what I love about it is how, how there's a lot of female power with all these songs of hers or Alanis's. But this song kind of owns her own issue.
Okay.
And it was very familiar to me. And this song is called Birthday.
When's your birthday? What's your middle name? Who's your hero? What's your favorite flavor ice cream? Can you tell me this? Are you Aries? Are you on the cusp of Cancer? Gonna get to know you better. What? No, it's not a quiz. Well, you can trust me now. We'll dig a little deeper. Let's trade numbers. Let's trade beepers. I can find you any place. Hey, why are you looking at your watch? We haven't had dessert. It's early, just 8:30, only our first date. I wanna know, do you love me yet? Do you feel the same? My everything. I wanna know, isn't true love great? Come on, tell me, when's your birthday?
That's funny, right? I like that song a lot.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to iTunes and buy that song.
It's like owning. I mean, I can remember being that girl, like having, and anyway, I just absolutely love that song. And I don't know that there's anything in that similar vein that.
Are you still that girl deep down though?
You know.
Do you have to hide that part
down,
of yourself?
I kind of do.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I probably cry in my car at least once a week.
Did Gary Mann meet this girl?
No. Well, our paths crossed.
I thought you were having a seizure for a second. You went,
well, but we didn't date until later.
Okay.
In the 2000s.
All right.
In the aughts.
That girl sounds okay to me.
Right? And she kind of had an interesting, and she did Lilith Fair, and yeah. I think she was a victim of, from what I can tell, that when your record label and you do a new record label and that one goes away. And so I, you know,
just juggling the record labels.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
and
tough.
I don't know that she recovered, but I love the whole record is, there was a few songs I was like, oh, but this one was, you know,
that's good. I like that song a lot. Hmm. I'm going to go way back, 1974.
Ooh,
a band that, a lot of people, when you bring it up, they just, oh, Steely Dan.
I love Steely
But I love
Dan.
I love Steely Dan.
Much maligned Steely Dan.
This is from Pretzel Logic, and this is called Barrytown.
I'm not one to look behind. I know that times must change. But over there in Barrytown, they do things very strange. Like they used to be, and though you'd like some company, I'm standing by myself. Go play with someone else. I can see by what you carry that you come from Barrytown.
That's great.
I don't know where Barrytown is. I don't know if it's a real place. I don't know what the song's about. I have no idea, but I love the song.
That's great.
I love it.
Pretzel Logic was one of those ones that I owned on cassette because I got the 20 cassettes for a penny.
Yeah, and, you're
and
like,
I just never got that deep into it.
You're right. Because what are they, what's on there? Ricky, Don't Lose That
yes.
Number. And there's another big hit on that. But yeah, I like Barrytown a lot.
Barrytown is in New York.
Okay. And what goes on there? Does it have any anything about it?
It is within the Hudson River Historic District.
All right. Mm. Well, let's write a song about that.
That's funny. I was just assuming it meant like Christytown, like writing a song about going to Christytown.
Well, that's a good way to, it's very self-serving.
It's nearby Bard College.
Okay. That's where they went to Bard.
Mm-hmm.
They're from, but they went to Bard.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
Is Bard in Annandale? Is Bard in Annandale?
Let me see.
I like this.
Yes, it's in Annandale.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Pilar went to Bard for a semester.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what my old school's about, Bard. I ain't never going back to my old school.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why he goes to Barrytown.
Yeah. But then he did go back and they gave him an honorary doctorate years later. So go figure.
I loved that Two Against Nature. That one that won the Grammy over the Eminem record and there was a big brouhaha over it. Two Against Nature is fantastic.
Is that with Cousin Dupree?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great song.
The whole record is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I remember they got a lot of flack because, what, this Eminem record is so big and so great. And I'm like, but this is a different thing.
It was like 30 years between albums, too, for them.
Yeah, it was, well, it was worth the wait.
Well, they're touring this summer. Get your tickets.
So my next one.
Which state fair will that be at?
Oh, you. They're coming to the Forum. They play the big sheds.
Okay. ZZ Top in 1981 had a record called El Loco.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of came after their more bluesy stuff. And then it was the transition to the kind of the more...
That's got the Tube Snake Boogie?
Yes.
And Pearl Necklace?
Yes. It's great.
What are those songs about?
Well, that's one with, like, I don't know who's singing. Is it Billy Gibbons? Is it...
The guy with the beard?
Dusty Hill. Like, because they both sing. I just don't know their...
Yeah, I don't know either. But and they not, both have long beards, so you don't know.
Right. Okay, well, one of them, I'm saying Billy.
Okay.
Okay, this song, it's kind of a novelty song, but it cracks me up. And let me... It's called Heaven, Hell, or Houston.
Okay.
And let me just set it up. Like, every time it comes up, I laugh. Because imagine the story... To me, it's very clear. It's some woman. She dated crazy Billy Gibbons. She's moved on in her life, possibly gotten married and had kids. And he comes, he gives her a phone call, and it's creepy, and it's just hilarious to me. Okay.
Let's hear this.
Hello, darling. Surprise. Yes, it's me again. I just returned from the island of Chandelier. What am I doing in town? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm just passing through in search of the ever-elusive Thunderbird. I got a job as a public relations man, passing out handbills on Austin Street. Merely an effort to improve my financial situation and ward off a case of the deep tears.
Anyway, there's a whole other verse.
I don't
like...
even know how to classify that.
I think he was using the same phone as Ned from Denver.
It just cracks me up. And ward off a case of the tears. I mean, it just makes me laugh.
Is that a song? Is that really a song?
Well, there's that musical interlude, and then he comes back and says, no.
No.
It's the music, and then he says, farewell, I'll catch you later at some sin-infested, you know, street corner in Houston, God. Texas. Oh it God. Just cracks. Because I'm just imagining that woman like, oh my gosh, what does he want? He just got out of rehab.
Oh.
Anyway. Oh, it makes me laugh.
That is, that seems like that album might be filled with novelty songs.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. My next band is Soul Asylum.
Ooh.
So they had their big breakthrough album was Grave Dancers Union in 1992. Then they followed that up in 1995 with Let Your Dim Light Shine, which I think is an amazing album. And then they took another 3 years and they had an album called Candy from a Stranger. And by the time Candy from a Stranger came out, people didn't care.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They just, it was like Soul Asylum had been around for years.
Yes.
And then Runaway Train came out and then they were back into obscurity. But this is a song from Candy from a Stranger, which is called No Time for Waiting, and I think it's an amazing song. You've never heard it.
No.
It's enough to make you sick. It's enough to make you want to quit. But you don't understand how I'm feeling. You don't understand.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah,
thank you.
I like that.
Thank you so much. I had to play that to get the taste of Billy Gibbons' creepy call.
Oh, it's funny though, right?
How are you doing?
Hello, darling.
Hello, Christmas Trotten.
Oh my gosh, that just makes me tear up crying.
How are you doing, Christmas Trotten?
I'm
shooting beer bongs over here, balancing my checkbook.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, my next song. I want to preface it with, I was never a fan of Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Pearl Jam came along that time with like that kind of get stuck in something stuck right. in your throat rock. Right. Like that whole Dave Matt, like I just, any of that, I'm not in.
Heimlich maneuver rock.
Yes. Oh, that's good. But a beautiful, wonderful movie came out in, I wrote this down, 2007.
I like you have notes. I like the notes.
Well, because I'll forget. Okay. Called Into the Wild. And it's about that guy who went to the woods and he died in a bus.
That idiot.
His name was Chris McCandless, I think. Anywho. Yeah. The movie is wonderful. If you ever get the chance to see it, it's directed by Sean Penn. It's a wonderful movie.
Is that Emile Hirsch? Is that
his name? Speed Racer is in it.
Yes, Speed Racer. Thank you.
And Hal Holbrook has a very small part, but he got an Oscar nomination for this role. There's a monologue that is just devastating. Like, anyway, it's a great movie.
Okay.
And the music is wonderful. And I remember getting the soundtrack and thinking, oh, he's going to have an Oscar better. But one of the kind of songs that I thought was okay got a Golden Globe, and then he never got nominated for any Oscars for this
weird.
Movie. And the music is outstanding. And this particular one is called Hard Sun.
Beside her, I am the better man. When I look to leave her, I always stagger back again. Once I built an ivory tower so I could worship from above. When I climbed down to be set free, she took me in again. There's a big hard sun.
He's talking about the sun. I love that. That like that you think he's talking about a woman, and then ooh, nope, he's talking about the sun.
I like his voice. I like when he sings like that. I like when he doesn't put on all the.
Oh, it's really beautiful. It's very moving and outstanding. Just
people love their Pearl Jam and their Eddie Vedder. That's for sure.
And I was not one of them.
Yeah, I like a handful of Pearl Jam songs. Like the ones that are released and popular and they stick in my head. I go, oh, okay, I like that one.
Yeah. Obviously, the man has talent.
Yeah. What happened to Jeremy? Whatever happened to that kid? Seemed like a nice kid.
Sure, right?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know about you, but sometimes if I like an artist, when their album comes out that doesn't do well at all, sometimes I'm like, oh, I really gravitate to that one. I like that one a lot.
Sure.
So my next song is from Stevie Nicks. This is from her album called Street Angel, which is her weakest performing album ever. What's it say? On Wikipedia, I have to read this. It says, this was recorded at the end of her 8-year-long dependency on the prescription medication Klonopin.
Okay.
So that's what I'm drawn to. This is from 1994, and this song is called Rose Garden. And this is about a woman who's
addicted to Klonopin.
Who's addicted to Klonopin. She's with this guy who really loves her, but he tells her that he knows that she's rich and successful and he'll never be able to give her the things that she's achieved monetarily, but he'll give her this, this, and this, and has three verses. And, you know, she doesn't go with him. And then it's like, well, I should have, I was wrong. But this is the first verse, Rose Garden. Very country feel.
Like it.
Never promised me a rose garden. You never said it would be easy. You never promised me a leisure lifetime. You only said you'd never leave me. Well, I never took the time to realize a princess in my time, and your love was so deep, and mine so fine.
That's great.
Yeah. So we get three verses of that. And then she's like, I made a mistake. Stevie. I'm sure that was based on someone too.
You know it.
You know it was.
But she's not going to tell who it is because she ain't Taylor Swift.
But she did tell. Have you ever heard the, have you ever heard her song? Has anyone ever written anything,
for you?
Do you know the story behind that one?
No.
It's now I could be getting a little bit of it wrong, but I'm pretty sure she wrote that for Joe Walsh because, Joe's daughter died in a car accident when she was like three. And he took in Stevie and Joe Dayton, and he took her to a place like up in the mountains where he had had like a memorial built for her, like with a pond and like a little, you know, and just, and she, and it just blew her away. So she wrote that song for
him.
Wow. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really, that's
I
tough.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That is, I can't even,
I know.
Can't even.
We're parents. We can't think.
No,
of it.
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
I can't even see the Hunger Games. I walked out of Hunger Games sobbing.
Because it sucks.
Well, no, just in the middle of it when all the kids start murdering each other. I was a mess and I took a cab home. I'm like, Gary, you watch the rest of this. I can't handle it.
Gary didn't leave with you?
No. No, he didn't.
What's wrong with Gary that he didn't leave?
Well, I told him he could stay. He likes movies. It's
fine. Pilar was pregnant, and we went to see that Denzel Washington movie, John Q.
Okay.
He takes the hospital hostage because his son needs a heart transplant.
Oh, my God.
And we're like a half hour into that, and Pilar's like, I cannot watch any more of this. No way.
No.
And I left with her.
Oh.
You know who wouldn't have? Gary, man.
Gary, no. No. He just on, said, take
just,
a cab.
I just started getting into it, honey.
Oh, my goodness. I might be allergic to something.
So, anyway, when I hear a story like this Joe Walsh thing with his three-year-old daughter, and then, you know what, then? Go drink and do drugs if you need to.
Right?
I'm okay. If that's what you need to get over that, have at it, Joe.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's rough.
Back to you.
Okay. Well, in 1993, I had very recently graduated from college.
Okay.
And I lived in Florida, and I applied to be a PA on MTV Daytona Beach Spring Break 93.
Oh, I hope you got that job.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
And for $50 a day, I would schlep sandbags around. I got sandwiches for Dr. Dre and Ed Lover.
Excellent.
I went and got... tempura for Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
And he didn't want a trailer. He just wanted to put his bus right there. I remember trying to,
Did you physically hand it to Lenny Kravitz?
Well, what I did was I stepped on the bus and I was told to rush it there because the hot had to stay hot and the cold had to stay cold. Okay. And I got to the bus, like I had done this amazing thing and they're like, and he's like, y'all wait until after the set. So it was just sat there and got cold anyway. So I just kind of was like, oh my goodness. Who else was there? I had a story about somebody else, but of course I forgot.
I'm sorry,
Living Color. Remember Living Color?
Yes.
I've played them. It's always raining in the afternoon in Florida. Always, always, always. And I was in charge of the green room tent that was right below the stage.
Yeah.
And there was like a thing for hot water and coffee that plugged in outside of the tent, and it rained every day.
Okay.
So I was in charge of trying to, in the rain, plug the coffee thing back in so that it would be hot.
And not get electrocuted.
And I had all my, anyway, the Black Crowes were there promoting Southern Harmony and Musical Companion. And it's one of my favorite records, just super, super strong.
It's a great record.
I wanted to play my morning song, but for some reason it was a phantom on my thing.
Okay.
But I also love this song, which is No Speak, No Slave. And they opened up their set with it. Like they were going through the green room and you know how there's the one guy that looks like he's the business manager
and then
there was one guy that was kind of a jerk, and he was like, people wanted to take pictures and he was like, fuck y'all. And I can't even imagine him being that today, because it's impossible to control that. But they were impossibly skinny, and of course, lovely ladies around them.
Yeah.
And they didn't hang in the green room tent. And they went up and just, you know, blew the whole thing apart. And he played the song, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What I love about the Black Crowes, besides the fact that they rock hard.
That's a great song.
What I love, okay, so lyric wise, you have one side of the, one side is like Bruce Springsteen. I got Mary pregnant, we went down to the river. You know, lyrics that are very clear, you get what it means. Then on the other side, you have Rick Ocasek, you know, there's a cheetah walking high, a Liquid Whispers Dragonfly, where you just, that you have no, it's not
yeah,
knowable.
You're like, what the hell is that about?
But what I love about the Black Crowes is they give you enough imagery to kind of, but then to interpret the way that you want, kind of, but yet, so there's some clarity and some that's a little, and I love, there's a, my morning song, the chorus is, march me down to the seven seas, bury me with a ruby ring, kiss me baby on an Easter Sunday day, make my haze blow away. So like, you're like, oh, all this imagery, and then, but then make my haze blow away. That's clear. I get that. Anyway, I just love, I love
that. Could almost
lyrics.
Be a Led Zeppelin lyric. Kind of. You put a dwarf in there.
Right.
And drag it out for 8 minutes.
Yeah, perfect. No, that was a great tune. I like that song a lot. What was that song? Say that title of that song again.
No Speak, No Slave.
No Speak, No Slave. I don't have that. I got to buy that. We talked about this band briefly earlier, Queen. This is from one of my top three or four favorite Queen albums called Sheer Heart Attack. As I got into Queen and I would start to read the liner notes and stuff and see who wrote the songs, the guy who doesn't sing in Queen, John Deacon, wrote some amazing songs, including this one called Misfire. You ever heard that?
No, and I would never guess that's Queen.
Yeah, deep album cuts.
I really like that.
I hope people make a playlist out of what we're playing today.
I hope so.
I hope they'd go and find these and buy them. That's what it's about.
Absolutely. Okay, Rod Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how I didn't realize I picked a lot of kind of moderny ones, although the 90s, how modern is that? But
Rod
still,
Stewart, this will not be a deep album cut for me because I have every
you
single
do, okay.
Rod Stewart song.
1998, When We Were the New Boys.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
It wasn't that like kind of the last of his kind of rockier ones? Like, didn't he go a little bit croony after that?
He had one more album after that. Let me see. Let me look. I know it. I saw him on... Not me.
It's probably Murray.
Oh, that's funny. I was like, oh, are we doing a bit? Are we going to
no,
do a voice?
Yeah. After that, he had one more album called Human.
Okay.
And then he went full blown.
Okay. Sarah.
Hold on. I'll pause it.
Pause it for a second. This is... So When We Were the New Boys, when that album was released, I was living out here and he was doing an album signing at Tower Records. And then he played in the parking lot.
Wow.
It was amazing. So
for
I did,
change?
No. He didn't. Rod doesn't drop
he
the hat.
He is sitting on a pile of cash.
Yes.
Make no mistake.
No.
That one has got...
Yeah. With all the ex-spouses and all the kids, he still has money.
For sure.
But, so I didn't actually... I got in line late. I couldn't get in to get an autograph, but I did watch the show, and it was a full-on... It wasn't like Rod's going to play five songs. He played 15, 16 song set out in the parking lot.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Oh, well, yeah. I really love this record. There's
I really love it too.
Covers and
I think it's all covers except maybe one song.
Okay. Yes. Right.
Yeah. It's all covers.
Well, this particular one is to me showcases his voice, and it's called Weak.
Oh, this is an amazing song. This is an amazing song.
Lost in time, I can't count the words I said when I thought they went unheard. All of those harsh thoughts, so unkind. 'Cause I wanted you. And now I sit here, I'm all alone. So here sits a bloody mess, tears fly home. A
That's phenomenal.
Right? Yeah. I mean, there were a bunch of I loved from this record that I wanted to, but I'm like, no, that one's the one.
No, I do love this whole album, 10 songs, top to bottom. It's got a song. It's got an Oasis cover. It's got a Faces cover that he never actually sang, but he does sing it now. There's a Nick Lowe song. There's a Graham Parker song. And then the title track, Rod Did Right, When We Were the New Boys, is the one original. So
yeah, love it.
That's a great pick. Yeah, I would say get that whole album. That's a deep album cut album. Where we go? Where am I going now? Oh, I'm going with a singer who I was never a fan of him in his band. I was never really a fan of the Jay Giles band.
Really?
Just the hits. Just the singles, the, you know, Comeback and, you know, and Centerfold and, but just.
Centerfold is one of the greatest pop songs of all time.
Yeah, and I love it. But whenever I would listen to a Jay Giles Band album, I wasn't really interested in a whole album.
Okay.
But I love Peter Wolf solo albums. I love all the albums. I love Peter Wolf solo.
So Elliot Easton played on Lights Out.
Yes, he did. That's a great album. Mm. So this is from 1998's Fool's Parade, and this is called The Cold Heart of Stone.
Green Street, full of memories. Wild hearts, doing what they please. I remember the funky old place where we used to stay. We'd shoot them down. There was something lost. There was something found that kept us warm as we stood alone near the cold heart of the stone.
I just saw him like 2 years ago. There's a small, tiny, tiny club. It's on. How come I can't remember anything? It's on Vine.
Okay.
You have to enter from the back. Like there's no front, like signage or anything. And I just happened to be like looking through like the LA Weekly, and it God damn it.
What's happening?
This is Murray, and I'm telling him I'm recording right now. I'll edit this out. But I'll keep the goddamn in. But and I went, and there was only like 100 people at the show, and the stage was so jammed with musicians. It was incredible.
Wow.
It was so small that at one point a couple of people were talking and he just said, "Hey, shut up. I'm doing this, trying to do a show up here."
Wow.
Cause it was like, I bet this room is about the size of the, it was crazy.
Wow.
So great.
I hope he's in that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, big jam at the end. He's always randomly there, and I love it. I'm like, oh, and then there's Peter Wolf.
He just shows up and walks on in.
Yeah.
He's a rock star, thin, and still looks great. And he's like 65 or something. Sounded great. Amazing.
I like Jay Giles though. That was my first concert. My very first concert.
And were they the headline band?
Yes.
Sixth grade. Who took you to that show?
A friend of mine's mom.
Okay.
And I remember like, what's that smell? I remember that very clearly. I'm like, what's the smell? And John Butcher Axis opened.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just remember, because we had really good seats, and the curtain went up, and I'm like, that's the band.
There they
are. The band, they're right there in front of me. And it was just a mind-blowing experience.
And was this
a
freeze frame tour?
Yes.
Okay, of course.
Yeah.
Great.
With the handprint, and that went up. And
did they sing Piss on the Wall?
You know, I don't know that they did that. I love that. In fact, that's always in my rotation. I love that song.
All I want to do is take a piss on the wall.
It's like, screw
that's
you.
That's great.
Whoever.
Angel in Blue.
Yes.
It's a great song.
Flamethrower. That record is good.
Do you mind if we throw paint on each other right now?
Isn't that a very interesting creative choice for a video? I mean, at the time, you don't think anything of it because you're a kid, but
wonder what
anyway.
That is. It couldn't be real paint. You wouldn't throw a bucket of paint on your friend's face.
I don't know. That was early days of music video. They didn't
it was
have...
probably full of lead.
I know. It'll come out.
Yeah.
They just hit the showers right after that, right?
Right.
Freeze frame.
Oh. And if you had to do more than one take, that'd be a disaster.
Oh, you're done.
Oh, yeah. No.
Forget it. What's up next? What do you got? What's in your...
Oh, is it me? Oh, well. This is another one from the 80s. This is from 1982, which was a big year for me in discovering. The Sparks had a record called Angst in My Pants. And
my angst in my pants wants to take a piss on the wall.
Yes, right. And the songs I Predict and Mickey Mouse were on the radio.
Okay.
And I remember like knowing and being aware that like this wasn't Dr. Demento. Like this was real music that just happened to have a sense of humor. And the song I picked, The Decline and Fall of Me, also has that little kind of tongue-in-cheekness, but it's also kind of has a kind of seriousness to it that I find really compelling. And here it is, The Decline and Fall of Me. That record was produced by Mac. Does that name mean anything to do? Mac?
Yes, he produced many of the Queen albums.
Yes, The Game and a bunch of Billy Squire.
Yep, The Works and
That was the first one I'm like, oh, produced
Reinhold,
by Mac.
Reinhold Mac is his name.
Is
he just goes by Mac.
Okay.
I'm jealous because where you grew up, you were exposed to a bigger variety of music, I think, than I was in small town Pennsylvania.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had like two album AOR stations, the album oriented rock.
Yeah.
And then we had a kind of a pop station. And then there was the late night, you could get the alternative kind of thing.
Yeah. See, I would have never heard anything from Gary Numan other than Cars.
Okay.
Or anything from Sparks ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was kind of it. That record, I don't know. That one in the one that he had the duet with Jane Wiedlin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Called...
Was it Cool Places?
Cool Places. Cool Places. I love Cool Places. Yes, anyway.
That
record.
Are you ready to make some hard and fast cuts right now?
Okay.
Oh, I'm gonna, she only has two left.
Okay, then I'm going to make hard and fast cuts. I'm going to cut... the one I should cut, I'm not going to cut. But I'm going to cut, I'm going to let some solo Roger Daltrey and some solo Pete Townsend go.
Okay.
Goodbye, guys. Sorry. Mm. And I'm going to go with this next one, which I probably, I don't think anyone's going to enjoy this song.
Oh.
And it's by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's 90 minutes.
It's from his, one of the two albums he made without the E Street Band, which I love those albums, Human Touch and Lucky Town. Those are great albums. Bruce didn't surround himself with people who couldn't play. You know, I think that's what people are like, the E Street Band's awesome. Well, he's not just going and getting some jug band to back him for these two albums. So, but this is a deep album cut from Human Touch called Cross My Heart. And I love it.
Second time I crossed my heart, he came in from the south. Was lying there with something sweet and salty in my mouth. I crossed my heart. When I crossed my heart. When I crossed my heart. Where did all know it? Well, you may think the world's black and white, and you're dirty or you're clean. You better watch out, you don't slip.
Good.
Yeah.
That was written by Sonny Boy Williamson, and then, and then Bruce added some lyrics to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love that song. You can go on websites and find out what songs Bruce has played live, and I don't think he's ever played that one live. It's like one of the handful of songs that he's never played live in concert.
It's the Livin' Lovin' Maid of Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly. Led Zeppelin never played that live, did
they? No, they didn't like it. Page did not like that song for some reason, from what I can remember reading.
Phenomenal song.
It's awesome.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
So So you'll play one, I'll play one, and then you'll play one.
Okay.
And then Kai will play us out.
Now, I don't know that this is fair to do this.
Uh-oh.
This is a
But
this
I'm
going to
play
band.
Six more songs.
Okay. No, no, no. Well, this band, All Day Sucker, is an LA band.
Okay.
They're not signed. They're not, I mean, this record I got at the show. I was introduced to them by comedian Wayne Fetterman. And the lead singer's name, like when we talk about great stage names, I know you guys had Jack Hughes. That is a great stage name, but it is nothing like Morty Coyle. Morty Coyle is a great stage name, right?
Okay, and the band is called again?
All Day Sucker.
Okay.
And this particular song is from, it's the self-titled album.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, this album is on iTunes.
Oh, good.
So this is always a valid choice.
Oh, good, good, good. Okay, well,
it's got a lollipop on the
yes,
an All Day Sucker.
He is a real showman. This guy.
Okay,
and does some covers that are funny. And so it's funny. I didn't realize I had a lot of the songs that kind of make me chuckle in this. But this song is called Worst Case Scenario, and it's you hear all these songs about the older guy dating the younger, but this is kind of the flip side of that, and maybe the reality of that, and it's super funny.
I took her to Canners for a coffee because her buzz was wearing off. She sat there staring at the ceiling, and I got this awful feeling I was failing as I tried to relate. And as I waved a waitress down, she put her gum on my plate. She said, "You seem really nice, but you refuse to evolve. I bet you're still listening to rumors, glass houses and revolver. Well, I've never seen Star Wars, and I don't think I'm gonna get involved with a guy who used to masturbate to Madonna." She said, "What has Lindsay Buckingham done lately?" I'm sitting near a can, there's been no answers, except that rock and roll can't save me.
How fun is that?
What were the three albums he name checked? Rumors, Glass Houses, and
Revolver.
And I always listen to those.
Oh, and he does Billy Joel covers in his act. I mean, this has been a while. I think this was, oh gosh, I thought I wrote down the year. But
2004.
Okay. They're wonderful.
And Wayne Feds introduced you to these guys?
Yes. They did a show somewhere. I think it was on Santa Monica Boulevard, and we bought the record, and the whole record is good. There is a song called Blue that has one of the greatest like crescendo endings of a song, and it's outstanding. It's really great. It's
and did
really
you and great. Did you and Wayne go to the show together?
With some friends.
I didn't mean you were dating. I just meant Wayne's a great guy.
He is a great guy.
Really funny.
Very.
I laugh as soon as I see him. I laugh because I know that something's gonna make me laugh.
Yes.
So yeah, I love him. He's great.
Yeah, he and we got to meet Morty Coyle. Yeah, he was for a time married to one of the Full House girls,
Jody Sweet.
Yes,
she does some X,
yeah,
or some drugs of some type.
Yeah, that did not last. But no. He's dynamic and fantastic, and I just please
you would think the rocker would have the drug problem, but no, it's the girl from Full House.
Well, but she was a child star.
And those people never succeed.
Well, I mean, no, meaning that, like, that, you know, they've had problems. I don't know. Let's not defame.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do with Bieber? What are we going to do with this guy?
Oh, my heart.
His tattoos and his pants down around his ankles.
I don't know.
Have you been watching any of the Lindsay Lohan documentary series?
No, you know, no.
Is it really a documentary?
Well, let me tell you. It's executive produced by Oprah, they're just following her around.
Okay.
They're not like, today Lindsay's gonna bake a cake. You know, it's just they're really okay. Just follow. I mean, and there's a lot of like, she says she doesn't want to shoot today, and a lot of the crew being like, well, she has to come down here and shoot. It's in her contract. So I'm kind of fascinated by
that.
It
is good. Yeah.
It's no, they're not tricking it out. They're not editing her words. It's really just, it's really just the train wreck of just filming her day to day.
Oh, that makes me so sad when real talented kids just can't handle all the things.
She is so amazing in those early movies.
Yes.
In Parent Trap, she is amazing.
That is a great family movie. She's great in it.
Yep. But Pilar cannot watch it because who's in it? Who plays the woman in it?
Lisa Ann Walter? Oh.
Yeah. And as soon as Pilar sees her, she just goes, that woman was skiing with her kids and she bumped her head and then hours later she died. I know, honey, but you just have to not think about that.
I know.
She's just like, but anything can happen. I go, I know. I know.
Oh.
I know. She was taken and her husband couldn't get her back.
It is a very heartbreaking story.
It is. It really is.
In all seriousness, it's tragic.
Wear a helmet.
Yes. Well, okay.
I know. Anything can happen. I can almost never have a show without playing Chrissy Hynde. Mm. So this is from 1999 Pretenders album that I'm sure no one heard. Cover photo is by Linda McCartney. Took the photo on the cover.
Wow.
Rock in peace, Linda. And this album is called Viva El Amor, and this song is called Nails in the Road. It's an amazing album.
This is a sticky situation. We require a measure of tact. We just don't like to mix it with y'all. It's a cultural fact. My patience has worn thin. My ties are gonna explode.
That's great.
Yeah, it's an amazing album. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Go get it. Yeah. So, before you play your last song, you can follow Christy at Christy S. Mann with two N's.
Yes. C H R I S T Y.
Anything else we should look for?
Meh.
Anything else coming up?
Meh.
Writing on any shows right now?
No, just writing a pilot, writing a spec.
What?
Blah, blah, blah.
King of the Hill, tell me one of the episodes you wrote that people would know. What was one of the ones that has the Christy Stratton name on it?
I wrote the one where Peggy befriends a drag queen.
Okay. I know
but
that
doesn't
one.
Know she's right. He's a drag queen. Mm-hmm. And then the twist is that she realizes that, oh my gosh, he thinks I'm a drag queen as well. that was me.
That's great.
I wrote the one where Hank takes care of a soldier's cat. He thinks he's getting a dog, but it's a cat. And the cat that I wrote that one. Anyway,
Are you watching Silicon Valley?
It's in my queue, but okay. I saw an early pilot and then I saw the one that then I thought, oh, they made some enhancements that were just right on. And
the second episode was really good.
Good.
I liked the first one, but the second one was really good.
Okay.
I think after this third one, the kind of setup will be complete. Yeah. And it'll be more funny.
Funny. Stuff. More funny. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. He's gifted that one, that Mike Judge.
Well, thank you always for being here.
Oh, I love
like
it.
You're kind of like Wayne Fetterman because when you walk in, I get happy.
Oh, that's so nice.
And follow us at Rock Solid Show. And Christy's going to play a song. And then Kyle's going to play us out. And I also like to do this now. I like to do this James Bond thing where I say that Christy Stratton will return in Contraction Junction.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm like, what does that have to do with James Bond? Okay.
At the end of the James Bond movies, at the end of all the credits, it would say James Bond will return in...
They do that in the Marvel movies now.
Yes, they do. And it tells you the title. And if they don't have a title, it'll just say James Bond will return.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Sneak and Sally through the alley.
Robert Palmer.
Love, love, rock. Love, love.
Rock and peace.
I mean, I thought, right?
Yeah.
I loved the stuff he did, like the 80s. Like, I loved all of that. I don't dislike that. But this particular record has so many different musical styles, and I just, this song, it's very slow, so it's hard to kind of put a chunk of it, but it's called From a Whisper to a Scream.
Do you think they buried him in a suit?
I'm a whisper in the wind to a loud scream. A message came that I'd lost you.
warmth of another man. I've seen more tears fall from your eyes.
Anyways, really bluesy and great, and there's a lot of fun stuff on that record that I just absolutely adore and I still listen to all the time.
Yeah, love. That's yeah, if you only know him from Simply Irresistible, there's much more.
Yes, which Heavy Nova was great.
Yeah.
It kind of got a little croonery, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean like that became his thing with the suits and, mm-hmm. you know, and just the voice is,
but
yeah.
But then I remember that MTV video for the song Clues.
Looking for clues.
Where everything's giant. He's uh-huh. like little. And it's like, that's so different from the stuff you just played.
Yes.
Or Power Station or,
yeah,
you know, I think, Riptide.
Yeah, I think he's so underrated. Yeah. I really do.
And lots of albums. I think some people think Riptide was his first album.
Yeah.
Not at all. Mm. All right. Kyle, what do you got? Do you got a deep album cut?
Yeah.
Where do we follow you on Twitter?
At Kyle Dotson Funny.
Okay. You know we got to fix that, right?
Yeah.
you.
Come on, it's a joke we do every time.
I know.
We do it with Mike Siegelmore.
That's right. Because Mike really hammers you when he's here.
No. Oh, I meant because his Twitter is at Funny Mike.
Yeah, he's got to change that.
this is a Breaking Bad. Or, no, I'm sorry, Breaking Benjamin song.
Okay.
From a 2006 album called Phobia, and it kind of had like a Katy Perry thing where like almost every song on it was a single, but this one was not. And
okay.
I think this is one of the better songs. It's called Topless.
Thank you for being here, Christy.
Love it. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Yours, and I got mine.